Excited about this sermon, and not just because I get to use a whiteboard, though I am pretty excited about that. Part of it is, this is an old story that many of you are familiar with. It's in Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar, greatest king in the world at the time, and this is all real. This is archaeologists have backed this up. All this has happened. In about 586 BC, the Babylonians marched into Judah. They overcame the capital city of Jerusalem, and they took the most skilled and the most educated people, and they took them back to Babylon in what we call the Great Babylonian Exile. And those people lived in exile for about a generation or two. And the Babylonians integrated them into their society and actually gave them jobs of responsibility. And the Babylonians didn't do this just with the people of Israel. They did it with everybody they conquered. So it was a very multicultural, multinational space in Babylon. And four of the people that end up there that the Bible talks about are Daniel and then three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what you're going to hear Dave read is King Nebuchadnezzar has now set up a 90-foot statue to himself. That's when you know you may have a mild ego problem, okay? 90-foot statue to himself, and every time his band, he's got a band too, and his band plays, everybody has to fall down at the statue and worship the image of King Nebuchadnezzar, and the three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all say, no. And that's what I'm going to preach about, but Dave's going to tell you what happened.
Good morning. This morning's scripture comes from Daniel, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of the gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." The word of God for the people of God.
Would you pray for me and with me for just a moment? Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our strength and our Redeemer. And I want to pray for the congregation. I hope that there are people in this church who can who would be uniquely blessed by the sermon. And I pray that they will. So do the work that only you can do. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. So part of the reason I'm really excited is I had a sermon that was sort of started, and then I looked at it very recently and heard God say something important to me. And what the Lord said was, "Tom, that sermon stinks." And so I threw out everything except the one thing that my wife Karen told me that I'll tell you in just a minute. And I basically just started from scratch. And that's really exciting when that happens on a Saturday afternoon. So here, I want to start with a scripture passage, 1 John 4:4. In 1 John 4:4, the author is talking about the persecutions, the difficulties, the trials people are in, and says this, "You are from God, little children, and you have defeated these people because," and it doesn't mean defeat like one of a battle, but just, in other words, they're not being overcome by the persecution, "because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Now, I'm going to personalize the last part of that text, and I want you this is Audience Participation Sunday. If you hate that, sorry. But, you know, I had to rewrite the sermon, so get on board. I'm going to personalize it, and we're going to memorize it together. The one who is in me
is greater
than the one who is in the world.
The one
Okay, now we're going to do that two more times, and some of you are not participating, but those of you who are, thumbs up. I mean, just want to tell you, people wake up between 8 and 9:15. The one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. Okay, you ready? All together now. The one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. And I'll tell you why I want you to say that out loud. It's so that I will be reminded of its truth. Because I have this problem. I have a memory problem. And I forget that. I absolutely do. And I'll tell you something. Whenever I feel, many of us would like to believe that our life looks like this. Why not use the whiteboard even more? Why not, he says, because he's so excited. Many of us would like to think that our life is like this. It's always in every day, in every way. Remember when we were in NYF, when we were students, and the guy came and he spoke, he said, in every way and every day, we're getting better and better. And I'm like, biggest lie ever told. Not true. In every way and every day, I'm not getting better and better. But by God's help, sanctification is taking place. But can I tell you something, what I think life looks like? It looks a lot more like this. And I find that whenever I'm in this zone right here, I always have a memory problem. And I forget that the, how does that thing go? The one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. I always forget that. Now, I wish I was a four-year-old. I really do. I wish I was a four-year-old. I heard this past week, Danielle Strickland, who is an author, a speaker, and she's a captain in the Salvation Army, so she's a pastor and a leader in the Salvation Army, which is a really fantastic organization. And I heard, some of us heard her speak this past week, and she was so good. So I'm about to show you a little chart that came from her work. But she told this story about her son, whose name is Judah. And Judah, Danielle said that she had a friend over at her house. They were sitting on a couch together in the living room, and they were talking. And you know how little kids just run out and just totally interrupt everything that's going on? And she said she had this little, you know, a cushion over here, and Judah came running out of his bedroom. He came down the hall. He came in the living room, and he jumped up on the cushion, and he had on a Iron Man costume. And he said, ta-da, it's Iron Man. And Danielle said she and her friend sort of looked at him and said, oh, well, it's Iron Man. Hello there, Iron Man. And with that, he was kind of excited, and he ran off to his room. And he wasn't gone no more than 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, they heard the little feet, four-year-old feet. He's running. He jumps up onto the cushion. He turns around and goes, ta-da, it's the Incredible Hulk. And they went, oh, Incredible Hulk, how nice to have you here. You know how you do, right? And they gave him a little applause. And he went running back to his bedroom. And the friend turned to Danielle and said, how many more of those does he have? And she said, he has the full adventure outfit. He's got them all. And sure enough, superhero after superhero came out. Ta-da, 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 until finally, Judah comes running out, and he's wearing nothing but his tighty-whities. He's got on his underwear, and he jumps up on the cushion, and he goes, ta-da, and his mom looks at him and says, Judah, who are you? And he says, this is Judah. I'll tell you the difference between being four and being older than four. I'm a stage of life where I'm like, I'm no superhero and I don't look that great in my tighty whities. That's where I live now. That's where I live now. And it's just like, ah. Oh. And those downward cycles that maybe you experience, I don't know if you ever have a downward cycle in your spiritual life or in your relational life. You ever have those? Am I the only one? Okay, good, thank you. Those downward cycles are full of a memory problem for me. I'm trying to either be a superhero or I'm trying to do it all, and I'm forgetting this thing. Greater is the one. Would you say it with me? Greater is the one who is in me than the one who is in the world. And that is such such an important thing to remember. And it's so interesting how easily we forget that and lose our ta-da. Because you know what? Every life needs some ta-da. It really does. I mean, you've got to show up. You got to show up for life every day. You got to show up for your family. You got to show up for your friends. You got to show up at work. You got to show up in the community. You're doing hard things. You really are. You're doing hard things, and you're managing complexity all the time. And if you don't bring a little ta-da. So you know what one of the problems is? One of the problems is sometimes we live over here in this space called insecurity. And insecurity is a very fearful space. It's a very fearful space because we realize I'm no superhero, and you can start to feel this overwhelming sense of anxiety because of that insecurity. And it's because you forgot. You just forgot. It's not a terrible thing. You forgot that the one, would you say it with me? The one who is in you, me, is greater than the one who is in the world. Now, you have to be careful because the opposite, and this is what Danielle Strickland talked about. The opposite of insecurity is also not a good space to live in. And that's found in this chapter this morning that Dave just read. Because the opposite of insecurity is arrogance. And arrogance is over here. And arrogance is King Nebuchadnezzar. Friends, when you, as I said, when you erect a 90-foot statue to yourself, you just have a mild problem with the ego. And it's not just that you put up a statue to yourself while you were living. You said, whenever I play the music, whenever I have the music played, everybody fall down and worship that thing. That's, would you not agree? That's pretty arrogant, right? We got to call that for what it is. King Nebuchadnezzar has an arrogance issue. Now, if you would have said, see, King Nebuchadnezzar has the same memory problem I have, but it just expresses itself in a different way. King Nebuchadnezzar, if you said to him, hey, King, can I just tell you something? The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. He would look at you and say, no, he's not. He's not greater. There is no one greater than me. And if there was someone else in me, I would definitely throw them out because they wouldn't be as smart or as strong. Because when you have an arrogance thing, that's a very negative spiritual space to live in. So it's the opposite of this. And King Nebuchadnezzar just absolutely embodies this. Now, Stevenson said, she talks about that there's this sweet spot. There's a sweet spot right here. And she used a biblical term to describe this. She called it shalom. And this is the spot of ta-da. And shalom is when you've got, that's a word that's used throughout the Bible, but especially in the Hebrew Bible. And it's this space where God's life reigns in your life. It's a space, in the New Testament, we call it the kingdom of God or the reign of God. And it's this place where you are so connected to God in a relationship where you suddenly experience the wisdom of God, the peace of God, the justice of God, the love of God, the righteousness of God, all these beautiful gifts that life has for you are all found in this space where you are in such a close proximity to the reign of God that you're just like, I don't need any ta-da on my own. It's okay. It's okay. You're right. I don't have that much ta-da. I don't look that good in tighty-whities. But here's the deal. When the Lord is present in my life and when I am an expression of God's love and God's will, there is some ta-da in me because greater. Well, I've got the Old Testament. I'm sorry, I'm naming the King James. That's my problem. I've been doing this all morning because I really like this translation better for teaching. But here's the translation. Greater is he who lives in me than he who's in the world. That's the one I grew kind of new at a younger age. But I like the more current translation. The more current translation, again, is the one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. And so this sweet spot is so important, because here's the deal. You're going to need the confidence of this space, because your life is going to have trials. And Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. He absolutely promised that. Now, in the time of King Nebuchadnezzar, the world had troubles if you were people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the reason is, Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to worship him and worship the gods of Babylon, who the king thought were the lesser gods. That's also an interesting dynamic. When the king thinks the gods are lesser gods, that's really something. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they love Yahweh, and they're faithful men, and they do not lose their faith in God just because they're in a culture that doesn't worship the same thing. They refuse to. And so when the time comes where the music sounds in Babylon and everyone's falling down, all of them are falling down because there's this 90-foot statue and everybody's falling down and worshiping like they've been told to do, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are the three guys still standing when everybody else has fallen down. And the people that are down here look up at the three of them, are like, what are you doing? And they're like, we're standing. You can't. The rule of the king is that when the music plays, we all fall down and we worship this statue. And they say, the people down here go, and you have to. And the three friends basically say, thank you for inviting us. And no, we don't. We don't. Not only do we not have to, but we're not going to worship that 90-foot statue. We're just not going to do it. And they say no to an idol. They just say no to an idol. And that's a very important moment, because here's what King Nebuchadnezzar's problem is. King Nebuchadnezzar, today, we have a phrase for it. We didn't have, the three friends would have never had this phrase, but here's the phrase we use for his behavior. King Nebuchadnezzar is actually somebody who's called codependent. Now, in codependent relationships, there are typically two, generally there are these two, you've probably heard this phrase, codependency. There are basically two positions in the codependent relationship. One is a position of power, and that's the person who demands, but never gives anything. And they want a person who doesn't have power, who gives and gives and gives, but never gives back. And if you're in a codependent relationship, you're either going to be the dictator who's saying, gimme, 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 or you're going to be the person who's like, okay, 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 and you're falling down at their feet all the time. And this is who King Nebuchadnezzar is. He is somebody who wants the whole world to do that for him. And so Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they just say, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. And everybody says to them, and the king pulls them in front, and he says, hey, if you don't do it, if you won't worship that thing I built, you will be thrown straight into the furnace of flaming fire, and then what God's going to rescue you from my power? And I'll tell you something, codependent people, and some of you have been to counseling and you've looked at your own life and you've been in relationships that were like this to some degree, and you've had to do this analysis already, and you realize, wow, this person demands, and every time I go to set a boundary and say no, they get uglier and uglier. And I share that with you because this is not a space where God wants you to live. And I just love the way these three friends do it. They don't make a big deal about it. There's no long speech. They just go, no, I'm not going to do that. And then they put the whole thing to the test. Now, what they could have easily done is they could have moved into another space. They could have shuffled straight up here and entered into a space. And again, she did not connect this to Daniel chapter 3. She gave this in a different context. But when I realized, wow, that kind of works, that gives you confidence to throw out your lousy sermon, I'll tell you. They could have moved up here to self-sufficiency. And self-sufficiency is where you just look at the king and you go, bring it. Bring it on. Sometimes we do that in codependent relations. If you're down here, just like, yeah, bring it on today. Well, here's the problem. Life is absolutely going to bring it on today. And when we get into a self-sufficient space, what we do is we put on sort of a fake Iron Man costume, and we say, ta-da! And you know what? Isn't sometimes don't you feel like you're just at the top of your game? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like, you ever woken up in the morning and just thought, baby, today is my day. Like, I'm going to bring Tom Berlin all over today. I am feeling good. I'm feeling smart. I'm feeling together. I'm feeling in control. Bring it on. And you know what I find? Whenever I wake up in the morning and be like, bring it on. You know what I find life does? It absolutely says, okay. And I get all of it. And see, the three friends could have looked at the king. The king looks at them and says, hey, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace if you don't kneel down. And what God's going to deliver you from that? And they could have looked at the king and they could have said, bring it on. But they don't do that. And this is the point. This is the point. This space in the middle here, this shalom space, this kingdom of God space, this God reigning in me space, this sweet spot right here is not about your self-sufficiency. It's about God in your life. It's about the memory, this memory that greater than, no, what is it? How does it start? The one
who is
than the one who is in the world. The one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. Do you see how I forget it? It's just so easy to forget. I don't understand. It's why you need a group of people around you to remind you. And so they just look at the king and they go, let me read it to you because it's such a powerful statement what they say to him. They say this. They say, hey, we don't need to answer your question, O king. If our God, the one that we serve, is able to rescue us from the furnace of flaming fire and from your power, your majesty, then let him do so. But, this is what's so stunning, this next sentence. But, if he doesn't, know this for certain, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship them. Come on. Talk about some guys who are like, hey, king, the one who is in us is greater than you and everything else in this world. Now, there's something really important because it's easy to get caught up in the courage of that moment and just go, I want to be courageous. I need to tell you, I need full disclosure time. Are you ready? Full disclosure. And this is where Karen really helped me because we were talking about this passage and she said, she led a Bible study a few years ago and they had a curriculum. And in this Daniel curriculum, she said, I remembered I'd learned these three things about this text that are still resonate with me and you might want to use this. And I was like, right now, I want to use any good idea that anybody's got. Absolutely. This is not like us having a really deep conversation. This is like, I'm so desperate. Can you help me? And here's what those three things are. Here's what these three things are. God's going to work in three ways, one of three ways. The first thing that God can do is deliver us from the fire. So there's this fiery furnace. The three friends are here. The king said, I'm going to throw you in it. And the outcome, because they actually, okay, so here's the deal. They get thrown in it. And you're going to have fiery furnaces too in your life. Can I tell you something about your life? You're going to die. And the time before you die is probably going to be a time of illness. And it's going to be a fiery furnace for you. And I'm sorry, some people believe that when they accept Jesus Christ into their lives, they enter Disneyland. Disneyland, Disney World, is a place where all the stories end happy. All the stories are wonderful stories. And a lot of Christians reduce our faith in Christ to Disney World. Disney World's terrific. I hope you go, but there's a reason they charge you a lot of money. It's always clean. It's always nice. People always smile, and that's what you can depend on, and that's why they charge you a lot. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you didn't get a ticket into Disney World. You got a power in you that was greater than the powers that are in this world. But we're all going to die. Can I tell you something? Most of us are going to lose a job somewhere. We're going to lose a job. Where either the company's going to forget us, or we're going to foul it up, and we're going to lose a job. Most of us are going to have relationships that dissolve at some point in our life. We're going to have a friend or a loved one who's going to look at us and say, I just can't do this with you. And we're going to say, how could anybody not do something with me? Because I am a delightful human being, about 80% of the time. And they're going to say, yeah, but that 20 is caustic. And that's going to happen. And I could go on with a list, but you don't need to be depressed. What you need to remember is the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And here's the deal. You're going to have fiery furnaces, okay? And there are three things. God can deliver you from them. So sometimes we have a long prayer list, as we saw earlier. But sometimes people call us at the church and they say, hey, guess what? I know I got this. I told you last week I had really bad test results and it looked really terrible, but the doctor just called and they've done a consultation and the second doctor says it's not what the first doctor thought, and guess what? It's not going to be a big deal and they're going to give me a pill and it's done. And you're just like, thank God. Somebody got delivered. Sometimes you're going to have a relationship fall apart and you're going to work up the courage, and in the strength of your love of Jesus, you're going to be called to reconciliation, apology, and forgiveness, and you're going to reach out to that person. You're going to say, I'm really sorry. Here's what I did, and it's repentance. And the other person's going to see the sincerity of your repentance, and they're going to say, you know what? It's okay. And a relationship that was totally fractured is going to come back together, and you're going to be delivered from the fire. Hey, thank God when we get delivered from the fire, amen? But sometimes that's not what happens. Sometimes God heals us with the fire. Sometimes the fire of the fiery furnace is a refining fire. Because here's something I want you to understand. The Lord Almighty does not want you to live here, 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 or here. And so when you get really self-sufficient, you're like, bring it on. The Lord's going to stand back and go, this is going to be fun to watch. And so sad because my beloved child is about to get bowled over by life because they're not listening to me and they're not taking me into effect. Sometimes we get so insecure, and the Lord's like, you know what? I'm going to have to refine that insecurity out of you, and the only way to do it is for you to depend on me because I'm the greater power and you're not. Sometimes it's our codependency, and this is where some of you have had to look at relationships and go, you know what? I absolutely have to draw a boundary in this relationship because this person is killing me. And only the pain, only the fiery furnace would have led you to that good conclusion where you recreate this relationship. And this arrogance where you're always right, this arrogance where everybody has to circle around you, this arrogance where you're the one that's got all the answers and nobody else can speak to you, God will find ways to absolutely help you carve out and sanctify that aspect of you. Because here's God's big desire for you. It's to get you into this sweet, beautiful space. And it's only found when Jesus Christ becomes your Savior and your Lord, like we said in the baptismal liturgy this morning. That's the only space. Every other space is so full of this that we feel like we've got two different personalities half the time. And then sometimes, you know, God delivers us from the fire, and sometimes God refines us with the fire, but then other times, God delivers us with the fire. And so sometimes we get really sick, and then we die. And then we experience the resurrection. Amen? Did you hear that last part? Sometimes we die, but then we experience what? And that's when you really figure out if the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in this world, because the one in this world is about death and destruction. And sometimes you lose a job, and a whole new chapter starts in your life that's better than the one you just had, and you were so fearful, but now God has given you a new power and a new life and a new chapter. And I could go on and on, but I'm not. But just understand, this fire, come on up, Megan, this fire is a refining fire, and it's so interesting. The king of Babylon says, hey, he's looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, there's a fourth person in the fire. What's that about? What's going on? And if he would have called in and said, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who's that? And they would have yelled out, hey, king, That's what we told you. The one who is in us is greater than you. And when the king pulls them out of this space, they look at him. And he's just so stunned. He's so stunned. And he says, "May the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be praised. He sent his messengers to rescue his servants who trusted him." They ignored the king's order. They sacrificed their bodies because they wouldn't serve or worship any but their God. And what the king realized is when you say no to an idol, you say yes to God's providence. And so it's not about going through your life saying no, 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 no. It's actually about the one essential yes. Yes. To the centeredness of a life in Christ. And honestly, yesterday afternoon, I'm like, this sermon stinks. And then I feel like the Lord's saying, then start over. I'm like, no. And then I heard the Lord say, hey, it's about as hot as a fiery furnace outside. It's air conditioned where you are. Just suck it up. But then what I thought is, what if there's somebody today who just needs the hope, the wonderful hope, the great ta-da of knowing, say it with me, that the one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. Cling to Jesus. And you will always lift and soar to the beauty that this life is to give you. Amen and amen. It's going to be a little late, but we're going to stand and just sing before we go.